I've dreamed of wandering with the Master Wanderer. I've pondered over his poems in wonderment and fantasy, both. How often I've whispered, what would it be like to take a road trip with Basho? Would it be as enchanting as it reads in his journals? Or would my soon-to-be weather-beaten skin and brow lead me to peril and early death? Could I learn to view the world through his eyes, yet mine? Could I find the blanks he missed? Could I notice even one small life that he didn't? First few steps, a hungry mosquito lands its song. He died at 50. He was young. He was old. In spite of illness, he forged forward, continuing his emergent into the Tao and all of its wonders. His voice and poetry permeate my imagination. He wrote thoughts of the 3,000 leagues before me dammed up in my heart, and at the crossroads of unreality, tears of departure flowed. Departing spring, birds cry, and the fish's eyes are tears. Basho was emotionally overtaken by this moment of leaving. Nearly losing control of his reality, he saw everything through the blur of his own tears. He was departing. Spring was departing. He was tearing, lost in a barrage of overwhelming feelings that welled up in his heart. He turned away to once again continue his sojourn. Turning, a crow unsettles. Settles. People line the road, watching until our backs are mere shadows. Basho continues the story of his journey in imagination. He saw things from his eyes. He saw things from theirs. Until our backs were mere shadows is not anything he could have seen, but it was something he could imagine, a knowing, through his keen perspective of nature, Soka, and the mystery of being. For now, the radiance of this mountain shines throughout the heavens, its blessings extending through the eight directions, and at peace. And still more, but it's all so awesome, I can only lay aside my brush, wrote Basho. Unfinished, the winds of his brush turn away. Overwhelmed, Basho could only set aside his brush. He feared that he would diminish what he was seeing if he wrote about it or painted it. He was living in a perpetual presence of respect and awe as he backpacked his final journey. And then he wrote this nearly sanctified hoku in the most fresh, engaging language that alludes to Dzogchen and the transformation of all things. So holy, green leaves, young leaves, in sun's light. His continuum of deep feeling and gratitude brought him to write about radiance, the eight directions, announcing it's all so awesome that I can only lay aside my brush. He didn't exclaim that he made a sudden discovery, not at all, but rather he revealed that his hoku emerged from his heart and soul through an ever-engaging, powerful sense of awe. Overjoyed, Sora, a traveling companion, shaved his head, put on ink-black robes, and changed the characters used for his name to those meaning spiritual enlightenment, wrote Basho. By any name, the eight directions called his shadow. The ridge dropped 100 feet into an azure pool dotted with 1,000 stones. Sidling into the overhang, one views the waterfall from the backside, Basho continues. Basho and his friend pause behind the waterfall for a short time in a tucked-away spot of leisure. He wrote the following hoku. For a while, secluded at a waterfall. Start of the summer retreat. The area is beautiful. The waterfall is peaceful and a perfect spot to gather one's energy and thoughts. It was changing season. It was a new beginning for Basho and his journey. Where is the aha? Where is the suddenness thought be found in haiku? Where is the whack on the head we've come to expect today? It isn't there, once again. Basho wrote about a secluded waterfall. He wrote about the beginning of a summer retreat, and he alluded to his remaining behind the waterfall for a bit to rest and enjoy. He was once again, and most appropriately, in a state of awe, or as he put it, awesome. Two children came running along behind the horse. One was a little girl named Kasane, a truly elegant name I'd never heard before, Basho said. There's a temple for mountain ascetics called Komyo. We were invited there and worshipped in the hall of the ascetic, continues Basho. Basho was a nomad that noticed everything. He was spiritual. His awareness was keen. Children ran up to him. He stopped to acknowledge them. He learned their names and even mentioned in his journal how elegant one of the young girls' name is. "He's never heard it before," he wrote. He was simple. He was sensitive. He was responsive to his environment, attuned. He was not reactive, and in particular, he was not overreactive. Aha wasn't how Basho responded, nor was it how he wrote. Basho wrote patiently. He was methodical and continued to work on his poetry throughout his life. To him, nothing was finished. He was always emerging. A deep sense of spirit encapsulated his internal presence of a constant appreciation of the universe and its ways. Folding cranes, he folded his heart along with. Deep within Ugangi Temple is the site of the mountain hermitage of Priest Bucho, continues Basho. A grass-thatched hut, less than 5 square feet. Regrettable. Wondering where the hut was, we climbed up the mountain behind the temple, and there it was, a tiny hut atop a boulder and built onto a cave. It seemed like Zen Master Miao's barrier of death or Monk Fei Yun's stone chamber. Even woodpeckers don't damage this hut, Summer Grove. Basho continued on his journey with poems from Kyohaku and himself. He writes, "Now the image of 1,000 years, truly an auspicious tree." Kyohaku responded to the moment with his hoku to Basho. "The Takekuma pine, show it to him, late blooming cherries." Basho responded with, "Since the cherries bloomed, I've longed to see this pine after 3 months' passage." They are both in awe of this great pine. Time and again, pines have been cut down, continues Basho. In the midst of their excitement, there still wasn't an aha. Where is the mysterious response? Is it that juxtaposition is actually revealing the condition of awe? Are there both? In awe, I too experience this pine. Basho continues, "Yet now before this monument, which certainly has stood 1,000 years, I could see into the hearts of the ancients. Here is one virtue of the pilgrimage, one joy of being alive. I forgot the aches of the journey and was left with only tears," continues Basho. "Summer grass, all that remains of warriors' dreams." Stillness penetrating the rocks, a cicada's cry. Gathering all the summer rains, swift Bogami River. He writes, "I set off once again by boat to worship during the ritual rebuilding of Issei. Like a clam from its shell, setting off for Futami Bay, departing fall." Basho turns one last time in awe. A new sojourn, leapfrogging the Milky Way. The sound of Basho.